Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Hot Tub. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He loves every one of us. The love of God is so important to us. But as we follow and seek His face, we learn things we can't learn any other way. There are many people, many voices out there speaking things that people will believe is truth. But the truth of God's word has a standard. It's in line with the love of God, the character of God, the passion of God, the holiness of God, the wisdom of God. Never expect God to do something unwise, out of irrational, emotional decisions. He don't do that. All of His decisions are good, well thought out. So when we ask the Lord to help us, He's going to do it according to His love, His wisdom, His holiness. And it will be, you learn perfection. That's why I often say that He thinks of everything. He thinks of things I can't imagine. And I'm not talking about something far away. When I see His plan unroll, and you know, over time, He tell you to do things, you do it, it works. And sometimes I don't understand the method that He uses, or the way He does things. I don't understand it at the time. But as I continue following Him, it makes so much sense. And so practical. Now, I'm not talking about things that's far away out in space that, you know, the kind of knowledge it would take to build a plant. I'm talking about practical knowledge. Things I couldn't have thought of it that way. But His plan is so perfect. When I look at how, looking back through antiquity, through the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, when Jesus Christ was a mystery, had to hide it from His enemies. He revealed enough information for His prophets to go on. And they prophesied what would happen, but they couldn't. It wasn't revealed to them. They knew it was perfect. They knew it was something to it. But they were also in the dark about some things. And it pulls the people for years. But we see the finished work. Jesus Christ came, and I love that scripture. It says that if they had known, they wouldn't have killed Him. It proves something. Satan didn't know. As smart as he makes himself out to look, he couldn't figure out that if he killed Jesus, there would be a crop of Jesus. He didn't realize He would get up. And this man raised people from the dead before He raised, he ascended. Before He raised from the dead, He raised other people from the dead. That would give any logical person a clue that this man is going to get up. Then he said, destroy this temple in 3 days and I'll get up. Even the foolish, hard-hearted Pharisees had enough sense to guard the tomb, because they feared that He might get up. But Satan and all of his grandeur didn't know it. Because if he had known it, he wouldn't have had Jesus killed. He worked through the people. And if you think that the Pharisees were bad, the people were bad. They chose Barabbas over Jesus, the people. And if you think this generation is better than that generation, you're wrong. The tares of this generation are worse than the people that wanted Jesus dead in the first place, in His day. It's the same spirits on these people. Demons don't die. Evil spirits linger, and they get on new people. That generation didn't know what they were doing. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. this generation has witnessed the prosperity of following God, the result of following God. A nation came on the scene and became the mightiest nation in the world, America. And I tell you this too, South America is strong. These are new nations. And they're civilized nations. And they're strong nations. And they're stronger than the most ancient nations, because we believed on Jesus Christ. And there are people in this nation that have a problem with Jesus Christ. Now, they don't go out and kill people because it's against the law. But the slander is no different than murder. Slander is murder. People don't process it that way, but it is. When you demonize a person, tear that character down, what's the difference between that and witchcraft? It's murder. When you can't say something good about a person, when you hate a person just because you disagree with them and wish they were in hell, that's murder. That's not the life of God. And people forget, just because they have animosity, they think they're approved. You're not approved to hate somebody. You can't make up new rules. We still are obligated to operate in love. And Jesus loved us. He got us out of our sin. We got to have that same love towards others. Even people that upset you. Even politicians you don't like, even people that you had a problem with. It's our obligation to love people and do right by people and care about people and be concerned about people to the point that we pray for them. And if some people are dangerous and they are hateful. Jesus said, pray for those that despitefully use you. You can't get any more low down than that. They try to destroy you with a passion. Now, why would Jesus say something like that? So, I said, if Jesus said it, it's important. Not that I agree with it, but I looked into it because I love Jesus. And I received salvation, so I'm going to trust him with my present, just like I trust him with my future. I trust him with my life. I'm going to listen to what he's saying. He's my Savior. His voice is mighty to me. So I looked into it. And I've learned some things. Some of the people that do despitefully use you, sometimes they have a salvageable heart, and God can save them. The enemy try to do damage while people are off balance and weak. He tried to do things that would embarrass their life so that they won't proceed to know God. Because Satan is afraid of their potential, and he tried to mar the potential of others and hinder them from having a better life. And he uses their passions, their ignorance, their weaknesses, hurts, and fears. And we have to snap out of the world, not the world of darkness. Every hurt was orchestrated ultimately by Satan, through demons and people. If people, you know, the Lord had me dealing with people that have been raped, because there's a lot of people who have been hurt by the witchcraft of rape. They don't know where they fit anymore. They don't know how to snap out of that hurt feeling. And you have to forgive the people who did this and see it for what it is. Use your anger, let it be towards the world system, not the puppet, but the puppet master. If you're gonna be a good warrior for Christ, you gotta learn to cut off the snake, kill the snake at the head. I don't bother dealing with demons. I tell Satan to stop, and the whole operation shut down. And I've had good success, even perfect success doing that. When gunfights were in play and people were shooting at each other, I said, Satan, stop it. You cannot kill anybody. You can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. And it's true. And people are alive today because of it. I've never seen a man get killed in a gunfight when I was around. Because from the time that I listened to the tapes of Kenneth Hagin, that word got in my heart. And I lived in a neighborhood where I had to do this consistently. For 5 or 6 years, I had to rebuke the enemy from gun. I had to shut down gunfights. And the Lord helped me learn how to do it. Then I learned the power of obedience. The Lord had me to do a good newsletter, and all the gunfights just stopped. I moved away in 96. I got divorced. I moved back in 2000. And there were no gunfights. I don't remember a gunfight after I moved back over there. I lived there 3 years. In the same house where I used to stop gunfights. Nevertheless, the Lord is good. When you obey Him, and you follow Him, Satan can't do what he want to do. There was a lot of gunfights and murders in Birmingham, and my sister reminded me that Chief Roper in Birmingham, they did a prayer walk, and it stopped. It was greatly reduced. And I said, you're right, I remember that. But I didn't keep up with what happened after that. Sometimes Christians just need to obey God. When you obey the Lord, when you do what He says, it's going to work to your amazement. Just because you can't see it now, if you're in trouble or any kind of problem, anything you really want to do for God, start doing what He says. And stop critiquing what He's saying. A lot of people critique what God said. God said do something, but they do it another. They do it. They put a twist on it. But they don't see it, and they're reluctant to complete what God said do. You have to carry out what God said do, and in order for it to work right. If you follow God, it's going to work, my friend. It's going to work good. The enemy shut down a lot of works in the duration because people can't see. You don't need to see. You need to do what God said to do. You don't need to know what He's doing. If you can just do what He said, if we can live by the Word of God and just do exactly, precisely what He said, when He said, do it. Now, I use confessions to stay on board with God and do what He wants me to do. I learned this from Charles Capps. Many hours I listened to Charles Capps. But I didn't just listen to it to hear it and preach it. I listened to it to build my life. I didn't listen to it to get things. I listened to it to learn how to live. What was important to me in those days was how to live by faith, how to stand, how to advance the gospel. When I had to preach, I would bless the work that God gave me. When God gave me something to do that's new to me, I would confess that I would do it. I put my heart in. I would use confessions to put my heart in the things of God. And then when it didn't look right, I would go to the Lord and ask Him why didn't it work you know, the way I thought it should work. And then I learned that he was doing greater things than what I could imagine. I learned to stick with what he said. When I felt like I failed, many times I ministered the word, and he would give me great revelation, and I would preach half of it. I said, "Lord, I forgot half of it. I didn't do a good job." He said, "You did what I wanted you to do." This went on for years. And one day I said, "Lord, why is it that you give me all this revelation and I only preach a portion of it?" He said, and it made sense. He said, "I gave you what the people could receive. And while I was on the subject, I taught you more." I said, "Oh." And then, my spirit was quieted again. I was all right. I felt good. And I learned to pay attention with him. And I didn't know that people can only receive so much at a time. But I'm, you know, not that I'm so wise, but I was learning from God. What God was giving me was good. I happened to know what it was because he gave it to me. And it's not a competition anyway. It's you're helping people live. My only goal was to represent Jesus. First, I had to do it in the way I live, and also, I didn't want to be the kind of preacher that live any kind of way and get up there living a raggedy life preaching God's word. I wanted my life to be right, and I had to learn how to stay in. That's reasonable. So that's how it was. And he helped me see things. He helped me understand. He helped me to consider his word. Now, as you go forward in the things of God, we learn, we live, we do things that we should do. We grow from glory to glory. And it's good, my friend. When you see the Lord move, you're going to want more of it. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.